I would love to see everyone in here not only profess to be a Christian, but possess salvation. Calvin Ray has said for many months now, many years, the greatest harvest of souls is right within our own church. And it's time we stop playing games with God. And I have a right to say what I'm saying because I'm a part of that group that have grown up in church and that have grown into church. And it would have been very easy for me, even if I didn't get saved at the age of 5, it would have been very easy for me just to learn the motions, learn the songs, learn the testimonies, but not have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it took a lot of courage for Wanda to do what she did a few weeks ago, having been in church about 50 years. But coming clean with the Lord and with us, I mean, she fooled me. And there's probably people in here that's fooling me too. But you can't fool God. A few weeks ago, sometimes NBC will have game shows, and they won't do it for a whole season, just a week. And they had this game show, and they try new things. Some of them are real crazy. Some of them are kind of neat. But they had one that I thought was really interesting. It was called Identity. And basically the premise of the game was they would have contestants, and they would have a dozen or so people that would stand up on different pedestals, and they would not talk or just stand there. They would be dressed in certain costumes, and they would have different occupations or different things, and they would have to match the occupation with the person standing there just by looking at them. And the man would say, whenever it was down to the end of the thing, he would say, "What is your identity?" And that's my question for you today. What is your identity? Can people look at you without you saying anything and tell there's something different about you? I'm just not talking about the outward appearance, even though that's a big part of it. But see, if you have God on the inside, it will come on the outside. Because you possess and not just profess. But Acts chapter 19, we have a certain amount of people that were professing to be of God. But we found out real quick they weren't of God. And we'll find out what happened to them. Acts 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, what's the Bible call them? Exorcists. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men and counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about a year wage for a soldier in that day. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So here we have the basis of the story. Paul is in Ephesus. Ephesus at that time was a center for black magic or for sorcery or what the Bible calls exorcists. And there was a certain man, his name was Sceva. He had 7 sons, as the Bible tells us. Says it was the chief of the priests. And they were using this black magic or sorcery for wealthy gain, for monetary gain. They would use it to trick people, using the name of the Lord, proclaiming to be one of God's children, and using that against God's children to gain monetary donations or certain items. Now, some people believe that even Sceva was a counterfeit. In fact, his name actually means mind reader. And a lot of scholars that I read after said he was even one that even shouldn't have been in the priesthood. He was even called himself a fake priest so that he could gain more monetary donations. So, when they were going around, they were proclaiming Jesus Christ. They were trying to cast evil spirits out of people. They even used the name of Paul, because we know Paul's circumstance was that he had a lot of success with evil spirits. In fact, he cast them out on a regular basis. And so they would use Paul's name sort of as leverage to even gain more money. And we need to beware, because the spirit that was in these seven signs is still in the church world today. We have 6-foot icicles that stand behind the pulpits that claim to be a child of God, but using the church as a way to get monetary gain. And they profess to be a child of God, profess, but yet they don't possess the real thing. I guarantee, I don't know, but I don't know how many churches are in this county, but it would be safe to assume that there's a lot of preachers that probably have never had a born-again experience that's standing behind the pulpit yet this morning. And this is serious stuff. I don't expect a lot of shouting today, because it's serious stuff. We need to stop playing around. And so here's the seven signs. And here comes the real test. They come to a man which had an evil spirit. And that's what I want to, first of all, for us to realize, is the fact that you cannot fight the devil one-on-one. He always will work through someone else. Sometimes that means your siblings, your friends, your loved ones, co-workers, whatever. But you won't see the devil face to face. In fact, he can't be everywhere at once. He just kind of sits maybe wherever he's at and kind of commands people to do their thing. But you'll never fight the devil one-on-one. You can't. You're no match for him, by the way. But he'll work through other people to get you down. So the evil spirit was working through this man. And the seven sons came to him, and we adjure you by Jesus Christ whom Paul preacheth. And the Spirit looked at him and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but what's your identity? Who are you? Now, I looked up this verse and I found out something interesting. The word know, in this, he used the word know two times. Jesus I know, Paul I know. Two different meanings. When he said Jesus I know, it means he had a personal relationship with Jesus. He knew exactly who Jesus was. Sort of the same knowledge that we have between a man and a woman, to know one another. That's exactly what this demon was talking about. He knew who Jesus was. In fact, we know that's Bible, because the Bible says the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And he knew who Jesus was. And he said, Paul, I know. Now, that word know actually there means an acquaintance. He said, I know who Jesus is, and I'm acquainted with Paul. I've heard about him. But who are you? I hear you say Jesus. I hear you say Paul, but who are you really? And then he says, I'm going to find out who you are. And he began to overtake the seven sons. And they were no match for him. Why? Because they didn't know their identity. They professed to be something than what they were. They professed to have Jesus in their heart. But when the devil came knocking, they were no match. So I have 3 points that I want to share with you this morning about these seven sons that will happen in your life too. If you don't possess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if you don't have Him on a daily basis, when the devil comes knocking, here's what's going to happen. First of all, they ran away. When the devil overtook them, they were no match for them, so they turned and hightailed out of there. They fled, the Bible says. And that's the same way, as I said a few weeks ago, with the children of Israel. They followed this cycle. They sinned, and then God put them into a life of servitude, and then they called upon the name of the Lord. They called out in supplication, and then God saved them. The same process with these seven sons is the same process you'll go through. If you don't possess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have what you say you have, my friend, when the devil comes knocking, most likely you will run and turn and go away. And that's why we see people that come to this church, they'll come for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe good, and then they won't see Him for 6 months. Why? Because they don't have the real thing. They don't. Why would you run away from something if you know you've already beat Him? We've already conquered the devil. The devil's already a defeated foe. Why should we run away from Him? We shouldn't. The only reason why is because you don't have Jesus in your heart. And that's why sinners come to this church, they can't come 2 or 3 weeks in a row because they're going to get saved. And I really don't understand why some of you that's been coming for years and years and years and haven't given your heart to the Lord, I don't see how you can stand it. I mean, the Spirit of God is here every single service. And you might as well go ahead and get saved because it's not going to get any easier. And some of you have just been coming here recently and you're crying, you're under conviction. I remember some around the Christmas play, I looked right at them in the face, they were crying, they needed to come right then and there, but they've been coming since then, and some of them are even here this morning, and you cry, you sit there, but yet you sit in your pew, and the devil comes knocking, and you think, there's no way I can defeat this man. Why can't you defeat him? Because you have Jesus in your heart. So these men, they ran away. Because they didn't have the real thing. And then second of all, look what happened. It says when they fled, they were naked and wounded. So first of all, they ran. Second of all, they were ripped of all their possessions. That's the second step in the process when you're dealing with the devil. First of all, if you can't fight him, you'll run away. And then second of all, he'll rip you of everything you have. And expose who you really are. See, some of you aren't ready to get saved yet because you don't realize you're not saved. Some of you feel you're too good. Listen, God can knock you down a few holes to make sure to realize who you are. And I pray it never gets that way. How many testimonies have we heard? Were people that have ran away from God and ran away from God and turned away the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times have we heard God bring him down with cancer or some other disease or a car wreck or a tragic accident, getting him in the hospital where all they can do is just look up and then giving their heart over to Jesus Christ and they finally accept Him? How many stories have we heard of that? It don't have to come to that point. You can give your heart to Jesus now. But sometimes if you let the devil have his way with you, you'll run away from the Lord and then he'll rip you of everything you have. Because the Bible says he's like a thief that cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job. You say, why is the devil fighting me so much? That's his job. Don't give the devil any credit. That's what he's supposed to do. But listen, just beware. Just beware of his attack. He's going to come to get you away from church. He'll use anything he can. He'll use sickness, and it'll start out as pure and innocent. But one by one, you'll find, well, I think she's got a cough today, so we better stay home here on Wednesday night. And then before too long, you won't be coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then before too long, you'll be backslid altogether. Why? Because the devil gets in your heart and puts things down in your heart that's totally false and totally wrong. And so he'll get you away from the church and get you away from God, and you'll run far away, and then he'll rip you of all that you have in your life. Steal, kill, and destroy. He'll steal your joy away from you. He'll kill your soul. Is there anything worse than killing? Yes, it's destroying. He'll destroy your reputation. He'll destroy your testimony. He'll destroy everything you had trying to build up, and sometimes that's worse than death because you wish you could die, but you can't. That's what the devil will do. And he left these men running away and ripped of all their possessions. And then it says, they ran away naked and wounded. So not only did they run, not only were they ripped of all their possessions, but they needed repair after it was all over. The devil left him wounded. I know some of you here this morning, and I hope what I said earlier, hope you don't take me wrong. I'm blessed and privileged to be raised the way I was.
I'll be honest with you, I am. I thank God every day for it. And I try not to take for granted, because I'll just be honest with you, Tom, a lot of things that have basically been put out there for me to take hold of. And buddy, I thank God for that. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But some of you haven't had the blessing of being raised that way. And some of you have lived lives that you're even ashamed to tell me even personally, because it just brings back bad memories. And some of you, you've been incarcerated. Some of you, you carry scars. Literal scars of your life that you've lived. And the devil, and I believe if you could stand and testify this morning, you say this. Maybe the Lord has spoke to you, and maybe you ran away from Him, and then He ripped everything and got you down, maybe because of alcoholism or drugs or other things in your life, bitterness and hatred toward the church or toward your family, and He got you down and took everything away from you, and then you were left with nothing but just scars. Wounded. Thinking you'll never be able to be healed. They'll never be able to be reconciled. But don't you know that God will work all things for good? Not that the things you went through, you were supposed to go through, because you had the right to change those things. But see, now that you have a knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life, you can look back and see where God has laid His hand upon you. And the grace of God has kept you, and what you've learned and what you've experienced, you now can teach others. Hey, I've been down that road. Larry Cantrell's here this morning. He can stand and testify to these young people. Hey, I've been down the road. I've been incarcerated. You don't want to go down that road. And I'm sure there's others here. Donnie in the back there, he's been on drugs and alcohol. He can stand and testify this morning. Hey, don't even touch the stuff. I just started out just a little bit. And it led me to a life of destruction. The devil took everything away from me. And they have scars. And Larry might even have scars. And Donnie might even have scars. And some of you may even have scars. And I'm sure maybe in Donnie's life and Larry's life and some of y'all's life, you didn't think that the Lord would ever save you and set your life free from the bondage of sin that you were in. But aren't you thankful this morning? Hallelujah! The blood of Jesus can reconcile you and repair you and redeem you and take away the scar of sin in your life. Hallelujah! And you may still have the reminder, but that's all they are. They're just reminders, because man looketh upon the outward appearance. Hallelujah! But God looketh upon the heart. Wow! Hallelujah! He don't see the scars. He sees the blood. Hallelujah! Wow! Glory to God! Some of y'all need to wake up this morning. I said, He don't see the scars. He sees the blood. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that, Tom? He don't see the life that you had. He don't see the marriage that was about to fall apart. He sees the blood. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what did you... They saw the men run out of their house. And they saw them run away. They saw their true identity. That they was just fakes. That they was counterfeits. And they used all that, and God turned that in. And Paul said, this is the perfect time to preach. He began to preach. And hundreds of people were saved, and they took all their curious arts, the Bible says, the books, the sorcery. They burned them all. And when they burned them all, they took up they had a collection there. All of them was worth a year's salary for a soldier. 50,000 pieces of silver. They burned it all as a sign said, we don't want that life anymore. Why? Because they found out their real identity. They were Christians. Hallelujah. They were set free from the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Blaine, what's your identity? You're a Christian. Ralph, what's your identity? Brandon, what's your identity? Russ, what's your identity? Billy Whitaker, is he here? Oh, sorry. I always look for him because he's always willing. Jeff Miller! What's your identity? Don Waters, what's your identity? Brent Ward, what's your identity? Hey, church, if you're saved this morning, what's your identity? We're Christians, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed about it. When someone asks you, I guess, hey, let's stand up and proclaim this year. Hey, we're saved, and I get a ruby veil, hallelujah. But we're not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ. And then, you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. 130 people's been saved. I say we're doing pretty well. But there's a lot more that need to be saved. And some of you need to be the first ones of this new year to be saved and come and give your heart to God. One of these days, the devil's going to come up to you. And he's going to say, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But what's your identity? And you can stand in front of him and boldly say, I am saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Get the real thing. Make up your mind. I don't know about you, but what Wanda did just caused revival in my heart. No, I'm not lifting up her. I know it's all good. The glory goes to God. But man, how many others need to do that today? How many of you young people that have just been raised at this church, but you never can remember? Oh, maybe you came to an altar one time just because your other friends did. And maybe you said a prayer, but you didn't mean it in your heart, and you just grew up, and you know all the songs, you know all the motions, but you never really settled it with God. You don't understand why you're miserable. You don't understand why you have bitterness and hatred. You don't understand why you just spite off to your parents just like that. Hey, maybe you're under conviction. You need to be saved. And you know what? You say, Brian, what will everybody think about me? You know what your assistant pastor will think about you? I'll think you're a real man or woman for doing what you did. And who cares what I think about you? It's what God thinks about you. He'll look down. He'll say, I know who she is. I know who he is. That's my son. That's my daughter. And you know what? One of these days, folks, the cry's going to come from the throne, Tom. What's your identity? And I'll stand exposed in front of God and His throne of judgment. And he'll say, Brian Baer, what's your identity? And I'll boldly stand and say, at the age of 5 years old, I came down to an altar of prayer at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church. And I know, God, I always haven't been what I should have been. But I tried my best. And I can boldly stand and say that your son Jesus saved my life and set me free. I am one of yours. I am one of yours. And he'll stand and say, Brian Baer, welcome in. You've been faithful over a few things. And I'll make you ruler over many. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Good preaching this morning. Thank you. Listen, what's your identity? If you don't know it today, if you have any doubt at all, the devil's going to come knocking. And I know what you'll do. If you don't have him, you'll run away. He'll take everything away from you. But then you'll come running back with wounds and scars, needing help. Why don't you just get it all settled right now?